on Wolf Spirit Radio. Be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond, 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 beyond. Good evening, good afternoon, and good morning to you, your soul, and your spirit. All three of you sitting in the same chair. It's quite amazing, isn't it? I love this interpenetrating absolute universe that we seem to be inhabiting, this fractal omniverse. In this particular segment of the fractal omniverse construct, I will be sitting here, seeing what happens, and we're going to be inviting spontaneity. So if you wish to call in and talk about anything that you wish to talk about that might enliven and enlist people to the cause. No, I don't know about the envelop and enneagram. Any help required. Anyway, so I'm going to be, first of all, I'm going to be speaking with my dear friend Rebecca Jernigan, who has offered to not reveal her deepest secrets on air, but speak about some of the more interesting things that have been going on in the life of a radio host in the 21st century. So I'll back myself out of this verbal cul-de-sac and allow you to straighten things out with our audience. Thank you very much for coming, Rebecca.
Thank you for having me. Well, you gotta love the energetics flowing around today.
Sure, yeah, definitely.
Listen, we have too much fun. It's been an extraordinary last few weeks, and it's going to continue to get extraordinary. So these moments that you just had, you know, just hang on to them because you'll probably have a few more.
No doubt.
I promise I will not reveal any of my deepest and darkest secrets on radio.
No. At least I might switch the mic off.
Good idea. Well, thank you, JP, for having me on. Really, you know, you and I just always have these wonderful conversations, and I so treasure and enjoy them. And it just enlightens me and then lifts me up, and so it's great. It's great to be here. It's been a very odd weekend for me in regards to being on the air. I normally am not near my computers on the weekends. I usually try to decompress from technology because I sit at my computer Monday through Friday, just, you know, from usually around 6 o'clock in the morning until sometimes 8, 9 o'clock at night. You know, it's like, you know, you keep getting this nudge. Get out. Get some fresh air. Go see what the world's really like.
just remember those legs, you know. They become like little wheels in the end, don't they?
Yeah, for sure. Mm. So, you know, we just have to experience the human, right?
Yeah. Supposed to be being just a kind of mouth with a lung.
Yes, there you go. Exactly.
Yeah, I really like, I've always spoken about, I love using my hands to make things and to play my guitar and all that sort of stuff. That kind of keeps me grounded. Also, lifting and shifting PA equipment is, although it's a bugbear, it does really keep one grounded and connected to the physicality of things, because they're great big heavy awkward boxes, and you got to kind of steer them. You know, I was talking to my singer the other day. Wouldn't it be nice if we had gravity cancelling equipment built into PA speakers? They could be as heavy as you like. You just flip the switch, and they would just lift off the ground a few inches, and you just kind of push them along with your fingers. And then you lifted them up a little bit, and they go, you know, they float into the van, and then you switch the thing off, and they float back down onto the surface of the van, and that's it.
Well, I think we just need to remember how to do that. I think we can. We just have to remember how to do it. Yeah. Obviously, we've done it before, but we just don't remember how to do it now.
Yeah, well, it's possible to move 40-ton slabs of stone across the countryside in Wales and southern England, then... I'm sure we can do that.
Do it with the PA.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. But anyway, we had a great party. It's been quite a good gathering this weekend. And yes, I've been talking with some friends. The moon.
Let's talk about the moon, shall we?
Well, you know, I spoke to someone who's now a mutual friend of ours, and. She was telling me how the moon has just completely knocked her sideways, and so many other people have been affected by this intense wave of emotions. And I was saying to her, you know, it's like when you're melting metal, you know, and all the dust and all the imperfections of the metal, as you melt it, they float to the top, and you can scrape that off, and that's what they call dross. And this is a process for bringing that dross up, and have we had some dross?
It is that for sure. And you know, this moon has been very interesting as I've been speaking with people. Again, you know, most of my weekends are spent doing, you know, human things, right? You know, normal kind of whatever that means things. And this weekend has been entirely different, where I've just been in contact with a lot of different people, and I suspect it has something to do with the moon, right? Yeah, in the phases and all the stuff. The other thing is that for people to remember is that there's only one planet. As of yesterday, there was only one planet that was in an Earth sign.
Really?
Really.
Oh, wow.
So think about that and really set with that. Now, wow, talk about being ungrounded. Talk about being out there. Talk about emotions. Talk about all of it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it just stands to reason. If you've got one planet sitting in an Earth sign out of all of them, wow.
Yeah.
Talk. No wonder it's tough on people. No wonder it's been challenging. It's shifted a little bit, but they're going to keep moving. From what I understand is these planets are just going to keep coming in and out and moving at a very different rate, apparently. It's my suspect, anyway. I mean, I'm not an astrologer, as you well know, but, you know, I just suspect that there's just going to be a lot. And apparently this particular full moon's effects are going to be some of the strongest ever felt for the longest in its intensity.
Yeah, well, it's actually very interesting because in the journey home last night from this gathering that I was at, there was a guy in the back of the car, and he was saying, "Just a minute, I remember right at the beginning of the evening, the moon was up, and it's still up, and it's you know well in through the night and very late at night, and it was quite high in the sky." And they said, "Yeah, this is the harvest moon, where the." And correct me if I'm wrong, but it's also a perigee, isn't it? It's closest to the Earth.
Yes, and didn't Nancy tell us that it was going to do that a few times this year?
Yeah, but this is the longest.
Tremendously interesting.
Yeah, the angle here in Scotland at the moment is such that the moon is directly overhead, and it rises in the east and passes directly overhead to the west. At this, you know, the way it's all kind of working out at the moment, which means it's the longest arc So there's more light, there's more moonlight in this day. So here we are, it's right up close, and there's all these waves of energy that might be bouncing off it, gamma waves and radio waves and all these etheric things that are going on, ribbons and filaments and all this stuff that's happening. And we're getting toasted, I think, and it's like, you know, like I was saying about the metal, you know, we're being purified, and all the stuff, what we call stuff, you know, you know, when you walk into a room and somebody
says, technical term.
Yeah, this room smells stuffy, right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Got stuff in it, man.
You know what stuff we're talking about, you know, dog stuff. Otherwise known as compost, you know, stuff makes things grow, doesn't it? But, it doesn't smell nice, and everybody's got this stuff, and that's what's been coming up this weekend, this last week, is huge emotional outpourings of people seeing exactly who they are, or exactly what they really feel, without any. It's like you know, when you got somebody who's not eaten, they're not going to be fussy about food. You
right.
know, so this energy is coming up, and it's got to go. Doesn't matter how bad it is; it's just got to come out, no matter how awful it might be. So you know, we've been seeing people absolutely behave really, really badly. There's been a lot of interesting stuff in the financial markets. This whole salted gold. Do you remember a couple of years ago we were all talking about this? Yeah, they'd found some bars of tungsten that were then plated with gold.
Yep.
You remember that?
I do.
Is now mainstream. We heard about it 2 years ago. When this financial crisis was happening, this is what, in one way, was partly triggering it. This discovery that there was all this salted gold, they called it. And now I've seen in mainstream financial newspapers the bar of gold that has had its covering sort of peeled off, and you can see this sort of ugly piece of blank metal underneath the pretty golden stuff.
Yes.
So
it's revealing.
And what that means is that somebody's stolen all the bits in the middle.
yeah, where's the rest of it?
Yeah, that's right. Essentially, they've made, you know, they've exchanged their little bits of gold for the big chunks of gold that have got gold all the way through.
Right.
So I'll
trade you mine for yours.
That's right. Look, how convenient.
My bar is bigger than yours, and what a wonderful trade.
Yeah, look how convenient my little pieces are. As opposed to that big old cumbersome, look at that. Oh, you can hardly lift it. Look at these lovely little pieces. They're just as good. Good as gold. Yeah.
Well, you know, here's an interesting point, is that this year, several times, there has been these documentaries that have replayed here in the United States about where's all the gold in Fort Knox.
Oh, yes, that's a famous one.
And many, 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 many of them have played. Actually, now that I think back on it, there were three different ones that have played this year so far in regards to redefining rebroadcasting these documentaries that were put on. The most interesting thing was that they were challenged, I don't know, I think 60s, maybe 50s, 60s, about whether there was actually any gold in there. Now, this is how many years ago one of these documentaries took place. And, of course, they took them. Now, here's the interesting thing. In Fort Knox, they took them to, there's all these rooms, but they only took them to one.
Yeah.
They only opened one room up, and it was number 13.
Uh-huh.
And that's where gold bars were. And if you can go, it's just public. It's you know, probably on a YouTube somewhere out there, I would imagine.
Because
you can go and look at this little video, and you can see where some of that gold looks a little discolored, looks a little funky, looks a little weird and different, and how they had it all stacked up neatly. And, you know, people were going, oh, yeah, there it is, you know, and blah, blah, blah. And, yeah, this is the real deal. And I mean, they know. They're just people off the street. I don't know about you, but I certainly haven't been educated in the properties of gold and whether I can define whether it's pure gold or not. you know?
Yeah.
And that was the big deal. And then, of course, there were some stories afterwards. People said, well, how come they only took you to one, and how come you weren't allowed to see the others? And, of course, you know, everybody had the big cover-ups there. And, of course, then we found out that actually what they have stored in Fort Knox isn't gold at all, but, you know, there's different kinds of weapons and technology. I guess we have artifacts over here, and we have things that belong to other countries, some jewels and stuff like that. But there's probably not any left. And recently, over the last couple of years, they have reinforced Fort Knox to the point that it's absolutely ridiculous what they've done to it. As far as being able to even get close to it, it's worse than trying to get close to the White House.
Yeah, don't touch.
It's really fascinating, though, isn't it? And then, you know, you talk about the financial markets. I thought I'd just throw a little tidbit of information out there. I'm sorry if I got too far offline.
Oh, no, that's fine. That's fine. And then another thing from 2009 is that there was one guy, and he sorry, it's just so funny. It's not funny, really, because it was like, you know, lots of people's real money. But he was drunk one night. So drunk, he couldn't remember the next morning, that he basically put in a whole load of lies into the system, so that people bought shares that they shouldn't have, and the shares lost money, and millions were lost because he was just kind of piddling about, basically. Or not. Maybe people got him completely drunk and fiddled it about. Whatever way, punters lost and bankers won.
Yeah. So what do you think is happening with the financial markets?
Well, it looks like...
What's your suspect?
Who's the suspect number one? Well, it's very difficult to tell exactly who's manipulating who, but there's... we can see that, you know, people are losing confidence in the dollar, and this is something that we've been seeing is that's been planned.
Right.
And the idea is that they bring in a new currency that is backed by gold, and that's not going to work now, is it, if gold is not trustworthy anymore? How do you know if it's salted or not? You know, hundreds of thousands of bars, you're going to assay them all.
Well, yeah, that's first of all, that's the big key. And the second thing is, who's going to be the one that does the testing? Somebody that's in the pocket of somebody else.
Yeah.
You know, certainly people like you and I wouldn't be allowed to go in there and do such a thing. Mm. I mean, even if we knew how, they wouldn't allow people off the street to do that. They would have it under this controlled environment so they can control the outcome of it.
Yeah, they'd have their people in the way. And right. By the way, it's almost impossible to tell by weight if it's tungsten inside or not. You have to drill it open, but drill into it. But what is easy is that gold is much softer than tungsten. Tungsten is really, really hard material, so you can drill it and it will break your drill.
So
that's the way to tell, but it's still, you know, you might have to find your way through a lot of these bars to find the bad ones.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is that all the fraud is coming to the surface.
Yes.
Yeah. What else has been going on this week in terms of emotions coming to the surface? There's this again, this false flag. All these attacks, right? These attacks by Muslims are supposed to be upset about some film and all this stuff. This is all fomented. It's all created, and it's designed to kind of come up during this week, because, you know, I'm sure our friends, let's call them that way, are very aware of the cycles and the way that this cycle would work, and so they'd ride it. They'd try to make it more intense.
Right.
But on the other hand, have you seen the photos of all the people in all the capital cities of the world?
Yes, they have been posted everywhere, and you're not seeing any of that on the major media.
That's true. Well, they do put it, apparently. The BBC have got it on their website, but it's on the website, and it's like, oh, down the side, and you have to search for it.
Right.
you know, so they, you know, so they can get away with saying, oh yes, well, of course we covered that. Yes, it was there. You know, well, there you go. But you won't see it on the 9 o'clock news. I don't know whose nipples being displayed tonight, but it's going to be something like that, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure. That's big news, by the way.
Yeah.
That's the big news there. It's not about what's happening in the streets and what's happening with humanity or anything like that. It's, you know, oh my goodness, you know, Justin Bieber had a, you know,
Justin Bieber,
right? You know, whatever. I mean, and you think about all this and you go, really, and that's news?
Mm.
That's news. That is absolute news. That's important for us to know about those things. Because
yeah.
It makes a difference in my life.
Yeah, tell us about the gold.
Yeah. For sure. Yeah.
So there's all that. And there's other things coming to the surface, but we won't talk about those things that are coming to the surface because that gets us threatened.
And speaking of which,
yeah.
And we can talk in generalities.
We can, yeah.
For just a second, if we might.
Yes.
You know, all of a sudden, well, I shouldn't say all of a sudden, every once in a while I would get somebody sending me some information, right? And it would be something like conspiracy stuff or whistleblower stuff or whatever. And, you know, my radio shows are not about that, about bringing whistleblowers on. Not that I haven't. But I guess the way of presenting it isn't such that a whistleblower would do it or a conspiracy theorist would do it. It's more about, you know, getting into other aspects of whatever it is that their information comes from, right? So this last few weeks I have received numerous pieces of information coming to me. From people writing me, emailing me, Skyping me, calling me, and sharing with me some very, very interesting stories. Stuff that's not out in the public.
Really? Can you speak of any in general terms?
No. In general terms, it's about movement, about what could be coming down the turnpike. In regards to some of it has to do with the USA, some of it does not. And it's just people noticing what they're noticing literally in their own backyards.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yes.
Very fascinating stuff. Very fascinating stuff. So I have, doing my good deed, I have passed it along to those that do that kind of research, that follow up with this, see if there's any fact behind it, see if there's any... if there's anything else that they know about it, because they're the ones that have the connections and the channels to people who work in that arena, that, you know, back in quiet, hidden thing,
yeah. know,
whatever that is, right?
Yep.
That the secret world out there, the rest of us aren't supposed to know about, right? So if that's happened, there's been... people who have been, and you know of some of them as well, that have been threatened, I guess is a good way of saying that.
Yes.
Which has caused changes of plans and things to go in a different direction. That's all been within this last week or so.
Yes, isn't it? Wow.
Yeah.
No, that was at the other end of the week. What seemed to be that goes by quickly, but like wow, when you look back at it, wow, there's a lot of stuff that went on there.
Yes, and it just built up and built up and it built up and it rolled forward, and you know, as they say, stuff is like, you know, coming out and just being thrown out. I mean, we are really beginning to see the truth behind a lot of different things. You know, you can only keep secrets for so long. Truly, you can only keep them for so long because there's going to be a breakdown somewhere, somehow, with someone. You know, they'll get their little panties in a wad or whatever, and they didn't like the fact that somebody told them they couldn't do something, so they use this kind of blackmail kind of thing going, well, if I don't get what I want, I'm going to tell all about you. Right kind of thing.
Yep.
Now we see all of this stuff that people have kept secrets about, and they're coming forward in droves,
yes,
across the world.
There've been, you know, people like Cliff High who've been watching the waves of emotion going up and down have been saying that this is a time. One of the reasons that he was saying is that, you know, in order to keep a secret, it costs money. And I can't remember if the figure was, it was in the billions per week or even day. I don't know, I think it's a day. But in the billions per week or month that it costs to keep all the secrets. And if that money were to suddenly sort of dry up, if there was like a death of the dollar sort of event, then there might be a possibility that people might be looking for alternative employment or at least other ways of funding themselves. And
right.
Books and CDs and things like that are very easy to make these days. So I think, yeah, we're going to see whistleblowers aplenty. And really, I was talking about this with you earlier, that at this time, it's like us lot, you know, we've been doing all this stuff for years and slowly building up a kind of small network of people that we know. And I think this network is going to be the safety net of the world.
You could very well be right about that. You could very well be right about that. You know, there has to be a safe place for a lot of people to land. There really does.
Yeah.
And to provide a safe place for people to land is the most important thing right in this moment. It really is. Again, when you were dealing with people like the whistleblowers, people that are the secret keepers, the ones that have these secrets, this knowledge, so to speak. You know, that's a real heavy burden for them to bear. You've got to understand it. Whether their heart was in the right place or not is irrelevant at this point. But when they decide to come clean, when they get a conscience, when they realize, for whatever purpose, it may be self-serving, but it serves the greater good in the sharing of this information. It doesn't matter what the reason is, it's only that the truth comes out, right? Think about the heavy burden of this whole mode of secrecy has done to them and what they have created for themselves, and think about them dumping that, you know, just dumping that secret. It's amazing. It's amazing to me when you think about, you've got a speakers on in the background there. I can hear myself.
It's me now. That's it.
Oh, okay. Are you got your speakers on yet? Okay.
Yes, I
can. So when I think about what happens with these people when they begin to come forward and they begin to come out, and they're going to come out in droves and come out in droves, they're going to dump first. They're just going to dump the information. But then the emotional stuff comes with it. Because think of all the pent-up emotions that they've had to carry along with keeping the secret. Whether it be fear, whether it be a feeling that they... That you know, they're riding the wave with the big boys, you know, whatever their idea is here, right? They're carrying a lot of emotions. Think about what happens when all that gets dumped.
Well, as we know, emotions are pretty tricky when they're on their own, but when they're all together, it can be quite intense. Gravity is the word that I used earlier on today, and again, that's the same thing. Gravity, the gravity of the situation. The seriousness is what, you know, keeps the secret. But when you suddenly discover that you've been keeping the secret from the wrong people, for the wrong people,
for the wrong reasons,
then your conscience, you know, when the money runs out, you think, why have I been doing this? I've only been doing this for the money.
Yeah, and that's when the big wake-up call is, when there's no more money and you think, oh my gosh, now what do I do?
Yeah. I've been existing here on the strength of a lie.
Yes.
That must be pretty hard for a soul to realize. So,
you know...
And the confession has to happen. This is, I think, part of what we're talking about.
I agree.
Go ahead.
I absolutely agree. Well, and all I was going to say was... the idea that when they dump this information, when they get to that point and they realize that it was really all about the money and they come into this huge awareness, this, their own awakening. Mm-hmm. It's not any different than most everybody that's listening to you right now that tune into your shows or mm-hmm. tune into my shows or some of the other host shows here. We all awaken to, oh my God, look at the lies they've been telling us, whether it be our parents, our government, the schools. You know, all of that stuff has affected all of us on a level that's, you know, beyond comprehension. I mean, we've drilled down into this on some occasions where, from the simplest of things of, you know, who founded the United States of America. How did the Americas get found? They say it was Christopher Columbus. I beg to differ. The Native Americans were already here.
Yeah.
So, you know, they just, you know, they built this guy up. And they know he was not the first explorer here. They absolutely know that for sure. Their reasoning is that it's too expensive to change the books. So the lie perpetuates itself over and over again. And then somewhere along the line, that lie becomes known when you get older, when you get younger, whatever the case may be, and the truth begins to come out, and you think, okay, so what else have I been lied to? If Christopher Columbus didn't discover America, then who did? Oh, they did. Well, what else? What else? And then you've got a lot of PO'd people.
That's right. They say the scales fall from your eyes. And you see the light of truth and the light of reason. This is part of the initiation. This is part of the ascension process. Now, again, we have exposed ourselves to some uncomfortable truths. To us, they're normal, you know. Yeah, you know, it's not blasé, but it's like, yeah, I know about that. I know about, you know, the mind control, the torture that people do. I know about the satanic rituals that people are forced to do.
Yeah.
You know, I know about all this stuff. I can take that in my stride now. That's normal for me. And then it becomes exposed for everybody to see, and everybody is not. Has not been practicing. They've been watching. They've been watching Simon Cowell be an asshole. You know.
Yeah, you got a great point there.
Yeah. And,
for sure.
And again, this I believe, whatever we're being drawn to do, somehow people will hear about it, and they'll tune in, and we've got thousands of hours of archive about what's going on now in the run-up to what's been going on now.
Yeah,
we've been doing
exactly.
It, you know, you have been doing it longest of all of us here, Rebecca. You've got a vast archive of the most succulent and interesting and wonderful, you know, I wanted to use the word texture there, but, you know, quality, high quality information of all of the guests that you've had over the years. Now, it's probably going to be impossible to actually listen through to catch up, really, unless we had teams of people listening to these things and making notes and tagging all the shows, because, you know, we did the show, and then okay, that was a great show. Next show, who's on next? You know, and it, you know, that's how the life goes. You speak to people, and then you speak to more people, and you speak to more, and some, you know, people come back, but you can't really sit and listen to all your archives and find out some of the stuff for yourself that you might have missed while you were doing other things like watching the chat room and stuff like that. But the information is all out there. And I think it's going to be a very useful resource for people.
Wow. Okay, so...
yeah.
Tugging on my little heartstrings there, dude.
Digest that.
Wow. You know, and I've said it before, and I truly mean this from the bottom of my heart. I feel extraordinarily blessed with... even though I may have went kicking and screaming doing this, I feel very blessed to have had the caliber of people. And I don't mean by their title or their notoriety or their fame or any of that, but the caliber of people that have I have shared space with and that the audience was allowed to share space with. And it all came from the information of, you must do this radio show, you must share the information not only you have, but what other people have. You must do this. And so, must I did.
Yep.
And here I am, all these years later, and I'm still doing it, and I don't not love it. I love it. I'm extremely humbled. I'm extremely humbled. I'll sit down and watch TV, and I'll go, oh, my God, there's Dr. Edgar Mitchell, or oh, my God, there's David Icke, or oh, my God, there's Philip Coppens, or Giorgio Tsoukalakis, or, you know, any of them that's been on.
Yeah.
Any of them. And I think, wow. You know, I know them. I've spoken with them.
Yeah.
They're not just a figure, and I've energetically shared space, and my audience has been allowed to do that.
Mm.
And it's been magnificent. It's been beyond magnificent. Been beyond magnificent.
Yeah.
It's indescribable to me. And so, okay, that's that moon, man. That heart just... That's the third time today, man.
Sweetheart.
Heartstring pulled. I love it.
Sweetheart, that's what it's about. It's about having an open heart, isn't it? And being able to, you know, you feel the other person that you're talking to, and you go through an experience, and yeah, that's it. It's the journey. It's Journeys with Rebecca. That's where it's all about. Your guides have been very interesting in their expression towards you, and also towards me, because it was your guide who asked you to ask me to come on your show, and I had no idea. I really, really had no idea. When you asked me, I was like, I'm blank. I have nothing. I don't know anything about anything. I'm an idiot. Why would you want me on your show?
So we put the key in the lock.
Yeah.
Because the key was already there. Yeah. All we did was turn that, because that's all you needed. And they seen that.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah. What's interesting is that a few years ago, I was talking with my people, my guides. I have this conversation that I have, and I type it out on a little Word document. And it's all searchable. It's great. But I have these conversations, and a few years ago, now when was it? It was about 2004-05. And they said that one day I'd be known to be a broadcaster, a composer, and a writer.
And now you be all three.
I haven't written anything yet.
You
know,
well,
I think that's what I'm researching for.
I think that's a perception.
Yeah, well, I write things on Facebook, and I talk to people, and maybe one day I could be able to write a show, you know, I just do a show and get somebody to type it up and publish that. In fact, I've asked a few people to do that, and so far nobody's done it for me. Nobody's come through. Yeah. But we'll see, one day.
It'll happen.
It'll be lovely to see that, because... you know, it's, you know, like I was saying, you know, you do your job, and next week you do your job, and then, you know, the next week you do your job, and all of these things, they build up, and people take them in much slower than you're putting them out, and people will come back, you know, months later saying, oh yes, remember in this show you said this. Oh, really? Did I say that? That's pretty profound.
Yeah.
Who said that? Is that me? Yeah. Who was I that night? And I get this, it's a wonderful collection of soul snapshots that I've had on the show. And I don't know how many readings that I've done. But, you know, that this is something that really has been an education for me. Is to see the kind of people who are tuning in to the shows, because there's been a definite pattern and definite groups of souls kind of pass through and pass by in different times, you know. And the first group that we came across was like our soulmates, you know, our soul group, this 1-2 array energy, which, you know, in a way it makes us very personable, but in another way it makes us very solitary kind of people. And you know, you can. I'm sure you can really relate to that. That you know, you don't mind spending time on your own because you know that you're not alone. When you're connected inside, you're connected to more people, things, beings, entities, planes, dimensions, holograms, than we are apparently touching on the outside. So this is a common thread for a lot of us in this 1-2 soul group. And then along came a lot more 7 soul groups. And these are the people who have been incarnating, and, you know, they're around our age group, who have been incarnating throughout the last 50, 60 years, and sooner, in a growing number. But the early ones have difficulty in aligning with the old style of thinking, which is the 6th ray group. And, you know, we've had a smattering, but there's been a rise in the number of the 6th ray group who've come in and come for readings now. There's a lot of the Patriot groups who are part of the 6th ray group. And they're knowing that they need to be part of the change. And it's just fascinating to see all of these groups coming through and the kind of issues they've been talking about, and seeing things from the perspective of, like, how this soul group experiences the world, and how they, you know, how they're on a path of change, you know, because we're all evolving, and the 6th ray soul group are the group that's having to do the most evolving, because they're like the last of our crew to come on board, and they've been you know, incredibly diligent and caring and heartfelt folk, people who throw themselves 110% in. This is you know, indicative of the 6th ray group, and they have been learning how to forgive, how to let go, and how to integrate themselves into a new way of being and thinking, and having to let go of the dogma that they've been carrying for all this time. Does that make sense?
Oh my gosh, yes, and it's just given me the good willies. You know, I call it the good willies. That's the affirmation, confirmation kind of physical sensation that I get when somebody speaks the truth and speaks it from their soul. So that was a soul truth, so to speak, for you, and that was beautifully said. And, you know, I have to tell you that I've run across a few people here and there that they're pretty stuck in their processes and in the way that they view life, and it's very narrowly focused. You know, they're very much boxed, inside the box thinkers, right? And then all of a sudden they'll be talking along, and then something extraordinarily profound comes pouring from them. Totally outside of the box, totally outside of their normal way of being or what you've come to expect them to behave like or act like. And I just kind of look at them, and there's a huge smile, you know, this huge smile comes across, you go, oh, my goodness, the box is coming away. And it gives you so much profound, I guess, hope. For humanity, for all of us. It's like, oh my gosh, here's these people that were so rooted in this ideal and this process, and this is the way it has to be, and this is the way it looks, and this is the way it is because it looks that way. And then all of a sudden this other stuff comes out, and you just kind of go, wow, I don't know what you had for breakfast, but have it again for dinner. You know, kind of a thing. It's beautiful. Been seeing that. Now, it doesn't change everything. But what it does do is that when they make these comments, I always make a comment. I acknowledge that what they've said is very profound or very moving, depending on what the conversation was. And it causes them to turn around and look at you, right? And you can see the little click in their mind. And that begins their expansion even more. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And it's lovely. When you see this, you see what happened. All right, so we're all one, you know, and all the soul groups, they're all part of like one huge, immense planetary being, and they're expressing through these physical bodies and things like that. But the soul groups are evolving too. And the sixth ray soul group, this is the one that has been dominant, you know, incarnating over the last 2,000 years, and it's the one that, you know, it can start out at diligence and end up with this obsession. It can start out with devotion and end up with addiction. It can start off with loyalty and end up with fanaticism.
Yes. Exactly.
Yeah. So these are the qualities of the sixth ray. They start off, they've got the good side, and they've got the dark side as we've slid down over the last 2,000 years through into barbarism, and it's been pretty hard, and that's all going to stop, because people are going to begin to resonate more on the seventh ray, which is of right relationship, Now, that's not talking about sexual relationship. That's talking about all relationships, everything
right.
that you relate to.
Right.
And the right relationship, it's just... We've seen groups go around saying, don't be racist. We've seen groups that go around saying, don't be sexist. Racism, sexism, that's the opposite of right relationship.
Right.
It's everything that we all want, really. It's being treated with respect and trust and unconditional love. Respecting your ability to be.
Yes, right.
And
couldn't agree more.
And this is a feeling that within our soul groups we have. There's this, and it's almost it's a refreshment for a lot of us to speak to us, to speak to each other, because not everybody behaves in that same way. But it's like a natural expression to not interfere with, to not violate somebody else. Essentially, right relationship is a non-violent situation, and violence on all levels, on a spiritual level, on the violence of thought, having jealousy and anger and bitterness and resentment, those are harmful of thought and feeling, and they are real, and they have an effect in relationships. Even though you can't see them or smell them or hear them, they exist and they will poison the air.
Very good. I can hear myself through your speakers again.
Oh, sorry, yeah, I got the thing on. Oh, go ahead.
It's all good. It's all good. I can hear myself through your speakers. But you're absolutely right with that. You're absolutely right with that. And getting right with the relationship. And it does start with self. And people keep saying that, and then I hear so many people poo-pooing that idea, by the way, that they have to get within. If you don't have right relationship with yourself, it's very difficult for you to determine what right relationship would be with somebody else. Because if you have prejudice or bias or judgment or hatred or anger or judgment against your own self, it's going to reflect outwards.
That's right.
That's a part of who you are. So you have to look at those pieces from within and see what still resides there. What are you judging yourself about? What are you still being biased within your own self about? What are you angry about? What are you hurting about? Whatever the case may be, you have to clear that. And, you know, getting back into this moon, let me tell you, boy, people are being challenged. And in those challenges are opportunities to let go of that which no longer serves you.
Oh, yeah, that's the key phrase. Let go of that which no longer serves you.
Yes. I've been saying, that was a mantra that I used to say, by the way, for years and years. I said that, I am not kidding you, every day for years. I let go of that which no longer serves me. I let go of my fear. And let me tell you what, by really putting that into my heart center and saying those words, the after piece of this is that there would be situations that would show up. And instead of looking at it like I normally would have, it took me a while, by the way, to figure this out. So it wasn't like immediate. You know, it wasn't like, oh, yeah, I get it. Because I didn't get it at first. No, I just knew I needed to say that mantra. But then here would be all these, what I would consider negative situations showing themselves up. And then it was finally like, aha, I get it. This is what I'm here to clear. This is why it's being presented. I need to look at this differently. This is what no longer serves me. Hello, I get it. You know, the lights are on. Right?
That's right. And go on.
And so it becomes, and sometimes you might even have like these memories that come up, right? These memories of having an argument with somebody or somebody doing something wrong to you or, you know, treating you or behaving badly towards you, whatever the case may be. Whatever those memories are, even if the person isn't there, now you're allowed to go in there and go, I see what I'm holding on to. I need to let go of that. It no longer serves me.
Yep.
And eventually these things begin to lessen and lessen, and they don't become a part of your life.
That's right.
They're less and less and less.
That's right. This is the dross that we were talking about before, with the, you know, when you melt the metal, to purify the metal, you know. So we've been raised, and this is what the human body does, and what we do to milk, which is what we call pasteurization, right? And what that means is you raise the temperature of the stuff to boiling point, and then you allow it to cool, but without the bacteria getting back in.
Right.
And essentially, that's what your body does, and that's what we call a fever. I got a fever. And the only prescription is more cowbell. Oh, I've got to play that sometime. That's a brilliant... Sorry, I got completely diverted up. Yeah.
It's all good. It's your show.
It's my show. It can be randomly zany, can't it?
It can. Yeah. Zany is good.
You got to watch the cowbells. It's Christopher Walken being the producer for Blue Oyster Cult when they were recording Don't Fear the Reaper, which has got this mad cowbell in the back. Anyway, long story. But that's what your body does when it has a fever, is that it's to raise its temperature and then drop it again. So you boil and freeze, and that kills bacteria. Your body knows how to kill bacteria, and that's what the fever does. But everybody thinks, oh, he's ill because he's got a fever. Yes, he's making himself better. Leave him alone.
Yeah, exactly.
A little aside, the philosopher Rudolf Steiner, have you heard of Rudolf Steiner?
Somewhere in my memory bank that's familiar.
He had some very unique ideas about education and children and the development of children. And one was that there's a period of cycles, and there's a seven-year cycle. And on the seventh year, the child burns off the childhood. It's like a kind of psychic cowl. Mm-hmm. And there's usually a fever about that time. And I'm not joking. Almost on or about my son's seventh birthday, he had this massive fever. Now, his mum was a bit nervy, and so I looked after him. You know, we were separated by then, but I looked after him through that period, and I just allowed him to go through his process, because to me that was a rite of passage. It's something that we have to allow to happen. and not try and, oh, he's got a fever, he's going to die, he'll have a seizure, you know, he'll go blind, he'll be, you know, all this worry and fear and stuff, you know, and it's your body, you know, your body's not going to burst into flames. He's not going to die because it's making himself better. So, sorry, ranting at my imaginary ex-wife there. But anyway.
We love it. We love it.
That's
I
right.
Do.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Well, I have a couple of announcements that I'd like to make.
Da, 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 da. Anyway, so go on.
Okay. My book, Tarot, The Intuitive Approach, is going to be available by tomorrow.
Yay!
It'll be up on the website. You'll also be able to find it at Amazon.com. So it is the second edition, so it's been revised. And the first one, by the way, I didn't do any marketing on it. It was not, that's why no one's ever heard of it before.
That's why it's not your famous book.
It's not my famous book, no. And then, within a few weeks, the first of a trilogy, and there may be more, is coming out. With the help of a lot of really, really good friends and support people behind the scenes here, that it's being produced even as we speak. So it's going to be coming out, and I'm very, very excited about it. It's been many years. I've had these books in me, and everything just finally came together, and it's all working, and it's kind of actually writing itself, believe it or not. It's just writing itself. But without the support and love and certainly all the guidance that I've been given on how this is supposed to be approached and what it's supposed to look like, it wouldn't even have gotten to this point. So in the next couple of weeks, I'll be making the announcement of when the first of the trilogy comes out. So I'm pretty, pretty excited about it, JP. But I'm excited about the Tarot book because it is Tarot, The Intuitive Approach. There's an audio companion, as well you know.
I think I've listened to it about five times now.
So you're already intuitive, so it works very well. But it is going to be available. It's going to be very inexpensive for people. I'm also going to begin teaching workshops based off of the book, which is really how it developed to begin with. When I was teaching these classes, for years, I taught these classes, the large classes of these, and I'm going to be putting together as an online webinar, so there'll be a video interaction for people, so they can see and feel and do all of that, and there'll be, it'll be really, really good. It'll be a really wonderful thing. It's going to expand on itself, so I'm excited to make that announcement, so I just wanted to share that with you.
Oh, super.
And everyone else out there listening.
Yeah, we got some good stuff coming up. There's some really good stuff, and you've had some good stuff recently as well. You know, we had the, you know, you know, we've been talking this afternoon about a couple of things, and you know, we had Jerry Cannon on a few weeks ago. God, it seems like so long ago now, and it was such a big, intense excitement. It must have been the last full moon or something like that. Big, intense excitement because, you know, there was this Egypt connection, and he was talking about the pyramids and the stones, and all this stuff was sparked from it. So we'll have to get Jerry back on the show. In the near future. Of course, we have to do this pre-record thing because he lives in Spain.
Right, exactly.
But that's going to be really exciting. Next week, I'm really, really, really stoked because you know who I've got on my show?
Ooh.
Amy Steinberg.
That's right. And like I don't like her, right?
Yeah.
That was my theme music for a year, I swear it was.
Absolutely. I'm going to play it in a second.
Good.
And then I'm going to play one of the new, brand new, still damp tracks from the band called Muse, who are like, they're so 21st century. I love them. So I'm going to be playing Amy Steinberg. And now I remember you played you put it on the show. You said, "Now everybody, just sit back and listen to the words of this." And I did, and I heard this beautiful tone of the guitar, and it was very trippy and all this stuff. And then this voice that just pierced through any And it just seems so true that what she was saying, it was completely non-untrue. You know, it was just absolutely present in the moment. And the song, the lyrics were about the, you know, be about being in the moment as well. So, brothers and sisters, I would like to play for you the track in question. It's called Exactly, and it's by Amy Steinberg, and I first heard it on Rebecca's show about 2 years ago. I don't know. Can you remember?
It's been 2.5, maybe even 3 years.
Yeah. So anyway, here we go. This is Exactly by Amy Steinberg.
Takes me. exactly where I need to be. I need to be exactly where I am. I am a blessing manifest.
And welcome back to Ever Beyond. And I've been speaking for the last hour with Rebecca Jernigan, and she'll be joining us back in a few minutes. I suppose if you're interested in a reading, you can call in. If you have anything to add about stuff that's been going on this last week about in terms. Oh, there's Gary Cannon logging in, right? About getting an effect from this wave that's just hit us. And hopefully has broken. I mean, one of the things that I've noticed is that the wave has broken now. It's not the build-up of tension has kind of relaxed. It's like gone on the top of the wave. So I'm just looking back through my. You know, what I'm saying I can't remember what happened at the beginning of the week. So I'm just having a quick look, and a few days ago there was this enormous amount of foam that covered the city, the beachfront of Aberdeen. Just looking at that. And then there were the Spanish protesters who, they were surrounding, they surrounded the embassy, or no, the parliament building, and the police went in and thought they'd surround them, and then the crowd surrounded the police, and there was this bizarre standoff, and they've been getting a lot of support from the local people and all of these things. It's a very interesting situation that's going on. The revolution will not be televised, but as I've been saying for years, it will be uploaded to the internet, and you'll see it on YouTube. All right. Oh, yeah, here's something from one of my friends overheard in Aberdeen. Red sky at night, weather's shite. Red sky in the morning, weather's shite. Thank you. Bit of an Aberdeen joke. The Zeta movie. Yeah, Tracy, do you want to talk about the Zeta movie? This is a lovely thing. The town that has, instead of, has got, often towns have little pots of flowers, a few geraniums, you know, a couple of things like that. Well, instead of doing that, they've put up this guttering all along the side, and they're growing vegetables along the walls so that you can come and, you know, eat stuff off the side of the street. I totally support this idea of a village you can graze your way through. I do like that idea. Does anybody like that idea? I sure am. Yes. Yes, spending quality time. Yes, oh yeah, oh, where were we? Looking up, yeah, last week we were talking about that. You know, stuff that is coming, we're in a dirty area of space. I don't think we've seen the last of the meteors. I don't think we've seen the fullest extent of the meteors. There have been quite a few coming up recently and whizzing over. And that's been quite an interesting thing. Yes, let's just see. I'm just checking around. This is it. Right. Yes. Oh, maybe I should. I haven't got a copy of Don't Fear the Reaper. That's quite a fun one. I think I'll get that for later, maybe. Yes. MUFON meeting. No, is there anyone who wants to talk about going to a MUFON meeting? Bonnie, do you want to call in and tell us what happened at your MUFON meeting? That sounds like an idea. Has anyone got any news? I mean, I wanted to open this show up, like I was saying, I was just chatting with Rebecca, and I said, "Do you want to come on?" So she was okay. If anybody would like to speak about doing this, I had a conversation with a woman from Ontario. The other day on Facebook, just about the same idea, and you know that they were pulling up vegetable gardens that have been planted, and I suggested that vast numbers of vegetable seeds were planted all over the place in all sort of municipal buildings, so that you know there were lettuces growing all over the place, and you could have different coloured grasses that could spell different messages when they grew again in the spring. That would be quite fun, wouldn't it? Yes. It's a really great idea, you know, to allow nature to resonate with us like this. You know, imagine how much deeper a connection you would have with a place if you were just eating the stuff that was growing right there, instead of having things imported. This is one of the principles of macrobiotic eating, is that you eat food that is local and in season, because that's in tune with everything. So, that's interesting. I wouldn't mind some questions or people calling in on 686. Ah, or Rebecca might come back. Hello.
Yeah, I told you I'd be back. I tried to get back really fast.
I was running out of things. To,
well, did I time it okay?
It was perfect. It was just fine. I was just about to dribble and drool and say, ah.
Yeah, I'm here.
Interesting.
And you know, JP, if you want to take call-ins and people want to ask questions, then, you know, I'm good with that.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe we could even do, like, you know how you do readings with Nancy sometimes.
Yes.
Yeah, we could...
I'm available for that.
Do something like that, yeah. So if anybody wants to, I don't know, JWR, join the channel. It says,
yeah. Yeah, it does kick me out of the chat room if I'm inactive.
Yeah.
I don't know why it does that, but it kicks me out. So now I'm back in, and I'm here. So what were you dribbling about, by the way?
Well, more or less sort of asking people about questions. Now, I was talking about the thing, some of the things that had been going on in the last week. You know, just scrolling back through my Facebook page and seeing the things that I'd been posting about, which are the topics that I'm interested in at the time. This mysterious, well, it's called a sea foam, which is a bit like the dross coming up again, that it smothered Aberdeen. Aberdeen is usually a kind of grey, granite-covered city, and it's all kind of pasted with this kind of beige stuff. It looks like somebody just painted it magnolia. So that's quite fun.
You gotta love that, right?
Yeah.
Weird, gotta love it.
Weird weather. Yeah. All right. Oh, so I'm just reading Bonnie's post in the chat room. She's just been to a MUFON meeting.
Ah.
But it was super boring. Oh yeah. I mean, this is the thing about these organizations that have been going a long, long time. You know, you only get the diehards. You know, and the people who run it, and it's, you know, it's the center of their lives, and again, we go back to that devotion, going to fanaticism kind of energy. But it is the six great people who keep the motor running, you know, with enthusiasm and energy. They're the people who supply the energy and enthusiasm for things. So
exactly.
So there's it's not like anybody's bad or anybody's good, but it's like there's all the different energies that make up an organism or an organization. You know, it's organs which have a function. Everything has a function and a process. And
so a little off topic here, you talked about Facebook, and I was busy trying to figure out how to work it again because you know I slept since then.
Yeah, it's another dimension. Yeah.
I wanted to read something to everyone because I think it's a really beautiful post. I read it to you earlier today.
Oh, go ahead.
There is nothing outside of you. For as long as you give your powers and your beliefs and your fears to that which is apocalyptic, cataclysmic, then indeed you empower it. You see, beloved ones, it is rather like war. You do not stop war by hating war. You stop war by loving peace. And as we have said before, times, you can focus on lack, or you can focus on abundance. You can focus on have or have not. It is your choice in every now. And that is from Ptah.
Ptah!
Ptah! I love Ptah. Ptah is one of my faves.
Yep. So that's a message about it's not struggling. Not struggling. I think the time of struggle, you know, if you're struggling now, you're going to get trapped. It's like the, it's because the fly struggled. That's why the spider gets it on the web.
You know,
if the fly were just to sit still, the spider would just stay in the middle and then it could extricate itself. But because the fly struggles, then it gets tangled even further into the web.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's an interesting, that's a very interesting analogy there. Yeah. I like that. That correlation there fits very well, by the way. For sure. For sure. So, you know, this, I want to kind of go back into this whole moon thing and, you know, what's going on. And, you know, years past, I've had a lot of conversations about the moon itself. When we've talked about, had Nancy on, and sometimes it wasn't even with Nancy, sometimes it was others, in which, you know, the moon was just the topic, the emotions that are attached to it. And, you know, most of us realize that it's something that has been placed there. It's not naturally occurring. Our moon is not. They know it's hollow or it's made out of metal or something. It certainly doesn't follow the criteria of what other moons are made out of. And I don't mean the atmosphere of it. So I was out there last night looking at the new moon, or at the full moon. Very interesting. It was very interesting to look at it. And I looked out at it, and I looked out at the expanse of the sky, and I thought, huh, wouldn't that be interesting if there was no moon in our, that we could look up to? What would that feel like? What would that be like? And I got a real emptiness. You know, I got this interesting emotion, right, that came from the fact that it wasn't there. What would happen if it was not there? What if? Kind of a thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And regardless of whether it's a naturally occurring body or if it is one that's artificially that's been placed there, it was placed there because it created the atmosphere that we need for all of us to be here. So, because people have a tendency to think if things are not naturally created, whatever that means, it becomes something less than. But its function and what it does and how it affects us doesn't change regardless of what it's composed or made of. Does that make sense?
Yeah, well, it's making a vibration.
Yes.
You know, we can feel this vibration. Women are very tuned to this vibration. And, you know, this it's a very, very low frequency vibration. It cycles once every 28 days. But that's still a vibration, and that's still been constant for many, many thousands, if not millions of years. I don't know how old the moon is and when it was placed there, but I know it was, it's not always been there and all this stuff. There is a vibration that you can feel, and it's like, you know, when you're on a ship, you know, and you go across the channel on a ferry or wherever you're going, and you can feel when they've started up the motor. And they get the motor going, and eventually you forget about the motor. You know, you just go about what you're doing on the top. And then you get to the other end, and they turn the motor off. And then there's this emptiness where the motor used to be. For me, it's like, it's a relief, because I hate low-frequency vibrations like that. But it's something that you feel. And it's not always, you know, you're not always conscious of it until that moment. And I think that the presence of the moon is like that. It has a very strong effect on us, but you wouldn't notice it unless it's not there anymore, as you had in that dream, or night experience, or wherever you might have been in that parallel dimension.
Right.
Mm. Yes.
I love it. And I love that analogy that you used about the motor. You got your speakers on again.
Well, this is Trem in the chat room was saying, the struggle just going for really shows up well when you're driving in traffic. If you want proof of the concept, the more you struggle and rush to get somewhere, the more idiots in your way and other delays. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. The road is the road is the journey. You know, the road is an indicator of what's going on in our lives. I was having a conversation last night with a friend, and she was talking about her horse, which can be is an Arabic horse and is very sensitive. And so if you're slightly off in your beingness, the horse will walk away from you because it's so sensitive to your being. And your attitude when you're driving is another indicator of where you're at. Because if you're in the flow, you're driving exactly the right speed, and you hardly need to brake. You can just chug along in exactly the right speed. You're not trying to hurry. You're not trying to push anything. You're just perfectly going with the flowing energy of the traffic.
You know, those speakers again.
Sorry.
You know, when you are in the sink and flow, when you're, especially when you're driving, you know, there's so many people that live in cities, and when they live in cities, there's always a backup of traffic. You know, traffic runs in and out. You got the really slow drivers, really fast drivers. You got three or four lanes of traffic all moving in one direction. It gets to be, you know, pretty busy out on the streets, out on those roads, on the freeways, people going back and forth to work. And I have found that when I know, okay, I'm going to be driving into the city, and I know I'm driving into the city, I automatically release that defense mechanism that I used to put in front of me when I got in a vehicle to go into town. Because I made the drive awful for myself. It wasn't they made the drive. I made the drive awful for myself. Because inevitably, because of my attitude, right, somebody would cut in front of me. Somebody would be driving really slow. I'd be wanting to get around them. And then just, you know, just add more and more agitation. You know, just, you know, before you know it, you, by the time you get to point B from point A, you are just in a PO'd mood and you're sour.
Yeah, battle and stations.
You're thinking to yourself, now really, was all that worth it? Was it worth it for me to get worked up? And I got here just at the same time I would have got here, but I didn't get here in a very pleasant space. I'm not pleasant with myself, more or less, anyone else,
yeah,
right?
It's just poison in your body.
Exactly. So now when I get in the car and I know I'm driving to the city, I go, okay, so I'm just going to drive to the city. That's all the thought there is anymore. Not about what's the traffic going to be like, what's the weather going to be like, are there going to be idiots out on the road, whatever. It's I'm driving into the city. And
yep.
I'll get there when I arrive.
Yep.
I'll get there when I arrive, no matter what my attitude is. Right?
Absolutely. I have my mantra is, I am in no hurry.
Yes. My mantra is, I'm going to arrive when I get there.
Yeah.
That's my mantra. I'm just going to arrive when I get there. I try to look at the things that I don't normally look at. You know, you begin to notice different things. And I have found that when you are in a good space, when the individual that's behind the wheel of a car is in a good space, it seems to permeate everywhere else as well, right?
Yeah.
And you don't find as many of those, quote-unquote, idiots out there.
That's right. They're driving with the people that are more like you.
That's right. You resonate,
yeah.
And that resonance creates that resonance field, and the similarities is uncanny. Mm. When you find and do the test. I tell people, do this test for themselves. Get behind the wheel of your car, just be PO'd and, you know, drive and see what happens. Everybody and their brother is going to be turning in front of you. You're going to have slowdowns. You're going to just have, you know, just be totally agitated. You're going to be even more agitated than you were before you got behind the wheel. Then clear your energy field. Get yourself in a peaceful space. Get behind the wheel. And just, you'll arrive when you get there and just watch the difference. That's not to say it's totally cleared up, but it's mostly cleared up. Because the resonance field, the frequency and the vibration that you're at, changes the frequency and vibration of where you're at.
Indeed. And here, Tremjar has put in the absolute nub of the matter. The need to live by a clock is part of the problem. You can't just say, we'll get there when I get there. If it's your job, you have to be there and be at 5 p.m. or whenever. Yes. And that is the big difference, isn't it? If you're a slave to that, that's part of your choice to be in that system. But you can also choose not to be in that system at any time.
Well, but there's ways that you can work around that.
Yeah.
There's ways that you can work around that. If you're one of those that have to have a specific time to show up at work, you can say, generally speaking, it takes me 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, whatever it generally takes you to get to work. Right?
Yeah.
You get in your car at a time that is reasonable length of time for you to reach from your space to your workforce place.
Ah, we're getting to some...
And you just drive. You'll get there when you get there. And almost invariably, you will get there right when you need to be.
Yep.
According to their clocks. You can, and I was talking about this week on my shows.
Mm-hmm.
You can disconnect. You cannot be a slave or, a slave to any of that and still be able to operate within the machinations of how it works without being a slave to it. Yeah. You can simply go, okay, well, you know, you have to watch the clock. I have to leave here at 7:30 by arrive there by 10 to 8. Right?
Mm.
Leave at 7:30. Get in your car. Don't keep looking at your clock. Don't keep looking at your watch. Don't fret. Don't worry. Simply drive. Just like you do every other day. But release the mechanisms, the tether that you have that, oh my God, I've got to get there by 8 o'clock. I can't be late. Inevitably, that will make you late.
Mm. There's this thing that my teacher used to call divine timing. You know, you get there when it's exactly the right moment, not because you have to be there by a particular time.
Right.
I had this.
That only works for people that are not into having to be at a certain place at a certain time, though.
Yeah, well, here's an interesting example of it that I'd like to share. Is
okay.
The last job that I ever had, right, I was 29, and I was wanting to get out of the university. It just felt so uncreative, and everything was changing. I wanted to get out and do something different, and so I applied for this other job, and it was at the Children's Hospital, Great Ormond Street. It's quite a famous place, and it was in the IT department there, and I knew the guy. We'd been working together, and I just the job description almost described exactly what my skills were. It was just perfect, absolutely perfect for the job. And the interview was, God knows, you know, 11 o'clock or something like that. That morning, I wake up at 10 to 11.
Mm.
All right? And I thought, right, okay, well, I'm screwed either way. I'm screwed. So I remember this old Chinese saying, if you're late, slow down. Okay, so I took my time. I got, you know, I got dressed, you know, got the suit on, got in the car, drove into the place, and I was thinking, you know, oh, I'm not going to get a parking place. And a parking place appears, and this is back in the days when you could actually drive around London. And I walked into the place, and there were four blokes in front of me, still waiting for their interview, and I was like an hour and a half late at least. And so I was, I just sat there, and the guys were processed, and you know, eventually, you know, I probably had to wait another hour in order for the interview to be done. By that time, I was still quite fresh, and all the other interviewees were completely exhausted and fretted. And I tell you, I almost walked in and put my feet up on the table. You know how? And It was quite an amazing thing, because I had all the right answers to all the right questions, and it was just like, hi guys, I'm your new guy. and needless to say, I got the job, you know.
Yeah,
and that was my last job.
It was
the last job I ever had. Well, certainly for the institution anyway.
Right, exactly.
Because I'd worked for a university college in various places for 10 years as an academic programmer.
Right.
So this is a completely different environment to being a commercial programmer, like somebody who makes websites and does does things for money. Because you just at university, you know, you don't do things for money. You do things for, like, well, somebody's asked you to do it. You know, it's like a commission, but you don't get paid for it. You're getting paid anyway, so you just do what you do. And it's a very relaxed atmosphere. Let's put it that way. And very creative. You know, people come up with great ideas.
You've got to see that. Okay, so there's that divine there's that divine stuff. And I've got a
million stories like that myself.
Where, you know, you go, hey, I'm already late, but I'm going to go ahead and go. According to the clock, I'm already late. And you seem to get there. And I think the most weird thing that ever happened to me, though, is, you know, call about time warping. And I was literally 10 minutes. There's that 10-minute thing. I was 10 minutes from where I need, you know, I had to be where at my location in 10 minutes. From where I was at was a minimum of 30. Right?
Right.
And I thought, well, I'm just going to go ahead and go. I'm just going to go ahead. I'm already late. But I'm just going to go ahead and go. And, you know, I remember kind of like watching yourself outside of yourself. And I remember getting in my vehicle and driving along. I was thinking, wow, what a lackadaisical attitude this is. It's kind of interesting. I think I'm just going to flow with it, right?
Yeah, it's attitude, isn't it?
Yeah. So I thought, well, this is interesting. So let me see how this feels, right? So I put it on and wore it. When I got there at 3 minutes still. And I was like, so I walked in the door right on time. And I was like, and you know, it was all I could do not just to laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh. And I thought, I don't know how that happened. I'm grateful for it. I'm ecstatic for it. So however this time warping thing works, I'm all for it.
That's right. Well, you know,
and
as you say,
it was crazy.
And this is, you know, part of the subject of the show is synchronicities and things like that. The idea that all these, you know, all the, it's like a river of blank spaces in a book when you're looking down the page and you see this river of blank spaces. It's like all the spaces line up for you to just drive through those spaces as if there was no other traffic on the road. You know, you just move from in a very smooth way from one space to another, and they all line up for you, and you can drive through the traffic as if it was like they were waves parting.
And they are. Yeah. That's exactly what it is. It's moving, and I remember that the drive was very surreal.
Mm.
I remember thinking how slow I felt like I was going. That was a weird sensation. It was like I was going very slow.
Yeah.
But I wasn't. It wasn't like cars were passing me or any of that. But that was the sensation I got that. And so, you know, I guess in some way time had slowed down in some sense as I moved through it.
Mm.
It was an illusion, obviously. And the sensation was quite interesting. And I've never had it to quite that degree since that time. And that was probably, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago when that particular incident took place. And it was extraordinary. To this day, I think about it and I think, wow, that was just really rocks, you know. I've had other instances that are like that, like the time warping, but not while I was driving or needing to be at a certain place at a certain time because of an appointment that I had. So it's fascinating.
So let's talk about worry. Because, you know, we're talking about, you know, being late makes you worried. And having no money, Wolf Ladies just mentions, like when you're broke, you don't worry about money.
Right.
Because, you know, you don't need to worry. It's going to come. It always comes. It's never, you know, you've never been let down since so far, have you? You know, you're still here.
That's right.
So that's where we talk about this idea of what I call trust in the process. You know, because nature is a process. God is a process. Everything has its quality and its process. That what I mean is, in programming terms, it's properties and methods. But in English parlance, that all forms of energy have a way of expressing symbolically a very large amount of deep meaning. That's a quality, and you can sum the qualities up, you know, in very small ways. But if I were to say, like, the quality of love or the quality of will, these are qualities we're talking about. You know. And then they have methods. So the method of the second ray, for instance, is to expand softly. The method of the first ray is to launch and penetrate like an arrow. You see? Number one, like an arrow. And number two, like a circle, expanding in all directions. And number three has this kind of sinuousness, which is snake-like kind of thing. That sort of energy. And those are the first three rays, and those are the methods. That's their properties, their process. If you understand, actually, if you understand that, you've understood a very deep esoteric truth. And you might worthwhile to listen back to that, because that really does make a lot of truth make sense, might be very useful if you can figure out what that means. But every quality, every energy has its quality and its process, and we have the process of the soul is always to make sure that you're. It's like a fountain. It's always there for you. But most of the time, people sort of turn their backs on it and look away from it and don't see anything.
Yes. How do I want to word this? There's a lot of individuals out there that get these, I'll call them moments, these moments of a nagging thought or a nagging feeling, something that sits, what they feel is just outside of their peripheral vision, right, is a kind of a concept. And they don't look at it. They don't invite it in. They don't experience it on any level. But yet, it sits out there all the time. I've done readings for years and years and years. You know, I used to be on, I talked about this a lot in the recent months. I've talked about this a lot. Was in the 80s and 90s. I was, a little gallivanter. I gallivanted all around the United States, doing talks and readings and putting on workshops and et cetera and so forth.
Cool.
And I would have people, strangers, I'd be in a strange city and would be sitting down and somebody would come up and want a reading, right? And what I would get with them is that I would, not with everybody, but I'm giving you some very specifics on some of the, people that sat in front of me. And I would say, you're very intuitive if you would just access that. If you would just access that intuition. I said, it sits right out here. It's your peripheral vision. And I wish I had better terminology back then to really explain it better. But it is that energetics that sits out there that lets you understand, lets you know, lets you tap into it of make a left and not a right. Go forward, don't stop, stop here, stop quickly. We're talking about traffic. Timing, divineness, right? When you're in traffic, when you want to leave your house, for some reason you lollygag around, you don't know why, then maybe you get in your car and turn on the car radio and you realize there's been a terrible accident where you would have been had you have left later or earlier, rather, or at your normal time or whatever. This is all part of that divine process. This is that expansion you were talking about with the arrow. Right? And then the circle. The circle is the expansion, the awareness that there's more to life than just driving down the road and obeying the signs.
That's love. It's the expansion, ever-expanding blue sphere of wisdom, love, and nourishing, nurturing.
Mm-hmm.
That's the expands from the center. And the first ray is the single dimensional, the penetrating energy.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the two rays and their process.
Mm-hmm. I think it's important for people out there, because I still listen. I'm good at preaching, but I'm still learning. I really am. We're a work in progress.
Everybody's got stuff. I always say, right?
Yeah. We're not at our destination. This is not about arriving anywhere. This is about the journey.
Yeah.
And there are times when even now I find myself knowing, there's a sense of this knowing, that peripheral vision again, of maybe I shouldn't go here, or maybe I shouldn't do that.
Mm.
And then my quote-unquote logical sense, which isn't really logical at all when you stop and think about it, says, oh, no, you have to do it this way because you just have to do it this way. And when I do it this way, it doesn't turn out.
Yeah.
And I think to myself, now, you know, I heard that. Now, why did I choose to ignore it?
Exactly.
Because it is a choice.
Exactly.
I know better than this, and I still catch myself doing it, thankfully, and mostly insignificant. In other words, not life-altering decisions, life-changing decisions, should I say. So, you know, for that, I'm grateful that I've learned, you know, to do that. But we're all kind of, you know, get stuck in this little, I call it the box, you know, call it the construct, whatever you want to call it. And we sometimes ignore that peripheral vision. And that's where the truth of things are.
Yeah.
Just because you can see it in front of you doesn't make it truth.
Mm. Yeah, because your eyes interpret things. But it's really, yeah, this is such an interesting little aspect here. Is the first thing that you hear in your head when you see something or your first feeling about something is so important to go by.
Mm.
For a start, it saves an awful lot of time.
Yes. Yes.
And for a second, it saves an awful lot of time. Because what happens when you ignore that is you have to go through the process of learning why you ignored it. There's the lesson. And the lessons are long in the beginning. You know, you think, oh, God, this happens every 3 years for me. You know, why do I fall in love? I'm bang, splat, and here I am again.
How did I find myself here again? Yeah.
And this is our natural process of learning. This is, and I really want to kind of put this across because this is, I think, a very important little nugget, is that when you're in a position of disillusionment, that is a brilliant place to be because you have no illusions. And back when we were talking at the beginning of the show about the revelation that we're used to these kind of slightly ugly truths, it's not nice, but it's important to know it because you have to know the darkness. You don't have to indulge in it, but you have to know it. And you know, not be shocked by it and not freak out. And I think in the next few moments, in the next few weeks, we'll be called to not freak out on certain things that other people might, you know, freak out a lot about. how can I say this? You know, we're going to see more and more things like papal abuse, you know, children abused, awful, awful, awful things. We're going to see more and more of that, and it's going to get worse and worse. And there's the possibility of like having this kind of emotion fatigue and shutting down. And I think a lot of people are going to be getting that.
Let me respond to that. First of all, as I could not agree with you more. So let's start with the last thing that you said in regards that people are going to get fatigued. Some people are going to be onslaughted. Their brains are going to just be onslaughted with the abhorrence of some of the events. So let me share with you some of the trends that I've been paying attention to.
Go ahead.
Some of the trends is that here in the United States, in this past week alone, there has been over a half a dozen, in 1 week now, half a dozen what they call cold case files that have been resolved. And when I say cold case, some of these were, one of them was almost 50 years old. They brought the person to justice,
really?
whatever that means. There was another one that was 30 years old, another one that was 40 years old. Two of them that were in the 20-year-old cases, that they found the perpetrator after all of these years. Now, these are perpetrators that were either murderers and pedophilias, or kidnappers and murderers. They were just horrendous crimes. And here they are, all of these decades later, many decades later. Here comes the justice. Here comes the great revealing. So when we talked about the secrets. You know, these people that perpetrated these crimes, these were secrets that they carried around.
Yeah.
These were, and you know, some of them were still doing these crimes and never got caught. Some of them were already serving time for other things that they'd already gotten caught with. Some of them hadn't been caught. They just did this one thing and never did it, or at least weren't caught at anything else, right? And so here we are. So we're at this, and so some of them are so abhorrent that you just kind of go, oh. So people look at what's going on in the now and they think, oh my God, there is so much abuse. There's so much things involving children. There's so much of this. There's so much more of it than there's ever been. I disagree. There's just more of it being known.
Yeah.
It's always went on. And this is what happens when you raise the consciousness of a planet. That stuff that is that awful hidden stuff, the stuff that is against humanity, is rising to the surface, just like you talked about in the very beginning, when you're melting, right? You're melting that yep. metal.
The drops.
There's all this stuff coming to the surface. And it's not about owning this stuff personally. There's many people out there are very empathetic. They're very sympathetic. Their hearts bleed. You know, they cry. They get crushed and they think, oh my God, humanity is so awful. And I say, no, it's not about humanity being awful. It's about the individuals being awful. And they are being found out because the energies no longer support that being hidden.
That's right.
This is a positive thing. If you don't know about it, how can you change it?
And how can you let go of the belief in the perpetrators who are doing it while purporting to be trying to stop it, for instance?
Yes.
There's a lot of that about, without mentioning words.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, but,
like,
yeah.
Let's look at all the teachers, those that are teaching our children.
Yes.
Are the ones that are perpetrating these crimes. Pedophilia, using them as sex slaves, feeding them drugs, having parties with these children that we have, the parent has given up and said, oh yeah, the school can have my child.
Mm.
And we've given up our ownership of what happens in a school system when we allow our children to go to school. Because as a parent, you don't have any rights, by the way, anymore. So here's these crimes, and then you have these people that are against pornography, as an example.
Hmm.
Specifically, child pornography. Now, that's happened a lot over in the UK, where they have found busted these rings, and some of them were the people that were supposedly supposedly on these boards or whatever, these governing bodies, to bust these rings.
I tell you, it's like mafia. If there is money around, then it'll draw the mafia. If there are kids around, it'll draw the judges.
Yeah.
This child protection and all of this stuff, who are they protecting? I mean,
yeah.
Yes, there are real, true, conscientious workers in there who really do believe in it and have their faith in it. But there is a dark underbelly to the whole handling of children, the whole scout groups, you know, Catholic youth. They all have the same model, and they all have the same people. The same characters turn up, and they do the same old thing, because that's the draconian method. Because it's not something that humans do naturally. It's something that we've been made to do by the Draconians, and it stimulates the pleasure centers. So it feels good doing it, but it's not good, and it harms people on many, many levels. It perpetuates itself. So it's a vampirism, and that has to
in its truest form.
Yeah.
And it's true as well.
It's, you know, people still talk about, you know, what do you mean stealing somebody's soul? How can you steal something like that? Actually, what you're doing is, you know, by abusing somebody, you're causing them to prevent them from expressing their soul energy on the planet by having to deal with the trauma. All the hours of psychology or psychiatry that they have to go through in order to deal with the traumas that they've suffered, that's the time that the person has stolen. And the time is your precious time to express your soul on this planet.
That's right. That's exactly right. And so I'm getting back to your spiel there, yeah. Getting into that whole thing, is that I just want to reiterate to people that in the coming weeks, this is what you're talking about, in the coming days and weeks, there's a lot of things that could show up. Doesn't mean they will, but they could. It's about you staying centered and focused, the individual staying centered. Please be calm. Please do not allow what your eyes are envisioning to own that. Instead, see it for what the truth and the reality of it is. Because it's up to us. It's up to us to hold that anchor for those around us so that they can feel safe or secure or that they have a safe place to surround themselves with. Somebody that can care for each other, looking out for each other, not getting caught up in the frenzy. It's important that we do that. Very important. Very, very important.
Remain calm and carry a wand.
Yes, or, I actually have one.
Or a spray bottle of bleach. According to Trem.
That was weird, man. Trem, I have to say that was weird, dude. I'm not sure. I'm not sure about that. That was kind of weird. It was weird, man. Love you.
You never know when you could be looting a store and cut your hand.
Yeah, that's weird, dude. Yeah.
It's Bleach Man.
Yeah.
Police are looking for a man with a bottle of bleach strapped to his belt.
There you go.
Bless your heart, Trevor.
Yeah. Walking around with a bleach bottle in your hand, though. Maybe a giveaway.
Yeah, well, I suppose if you had a little cap and a rag hanging from the other side, you might. He's the guy that goes around bleaching things and cleaning things up.
Mr. Clean, leave me alone, man.
That's right.
Sanitizing the world.
Sanitize for your comfort and convenience.
Well, there you go.
So, oh, what fun. I think we've managed to circle round and spiral up some of these the subjects tonight. Rebecca, thank you very much for coming on.
Oh, my goodness, my joy and my pleasure as always. You know that.
And you know, it's always like it's a bit of a relief sometimes talking to you. It's like, is it me? I get this. Is it me? Kind of feeling quite a lot. It's always good to have somebody who's, you're actually saying the same things that I'm feeling, and you live like a quarter of the way around the planet, and so it can't just be me. It's very, very heartening.
Oh, it is, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, it's lovely.
Yeah.
I feel the same way when I connect up with you and a few other people, and I go, okay, here's what's been going on. What do you think about that? And they go, oh. And you kind of go, okay, good. I'm feeling good now.
Yes, you bet.
All right.
Yeah.
I haven't just went off and left field somewhere and left everyone else, you know, in some other place, and I'm by myself over here, right?
Yeah.
We aren't alone. We really are not alone. We are not alone.
Everybody's got bleach now. So this has been brilliant. I'd like to just, first of all, Rebecca has shows on. Three times a week now. Your Tuesday at 7.
No.
No?
Well, yeah, you're in Pacific time.
Yeah.
Yes, it's 7 to 9 Pacific time. I have to do my mental calculation.
I'm sorry.
Thursday is 4 to 5 with Journeys,
mm-hmm.
And then immediately following that, from 5 to 7 in Pacific time, is Real Women Stepping Up, and then on Friday nights, from 5 to 7 p.m. Pacific time is Journeys with Rebecca as well. So, yeah, so it's fantastic. It's absolutely wonderful, fantastic. I'm really enjoying the energy and the camaraderie, the love, and all of that. It's you guys are beautiful. I love Wolf Spirit Radio. I love it. I love it. I love it. And I love everyone here.
That's great. Thank you. This Tuesday, I'll be on Revolution Radio and Wolf Spirit Radio at 12 p.m. PST with my Journeys with JP show. Wherever that might go. Don't know where that goes. We'll see. I want to leave a few spontaneous spaces because I got some fab guests. Coming up this month, I've got Amy Steinberg. She's on next week. She's the one who sang the song in the middle of the show. Beautiful, exactly. And I'll be talking about her guitar tone and what effects pedal she's using. And we'll be talking about her spiritual influences as well. A couple of days afterwards, I've got author Tricia Kelly. She's a children's author. She's a New Zealander who lives in LA. She's making screenplays and things like that with a spiritual bent. Then on the 14th, I'm going to have our soon-to-be colleague, Katie Galanti. She'll be appearing on the show. We'll be preparing for Halloween. We're going to be looking at some of the externalization of satanic ritual that we might be tricked into participating in that we can choose not to participate in over the coming few weeks. Coming up to Halloween is obviously the big black mask kind of thing that they're trying to make a big push to tip the balance the other way, but you know. Anyway, so we can be awake and aware and see what they're up to with Katie Galanti. Katie will also be joining us as a show host. She'll be running a show directly after my show, so it will be this time, which is 5 o'clock PST. This will be starting in November. We'll get some firm dates and we'll tell you all about it. Katie will have her own amazing bunch of guests that she's booked in over the years, and she's got a good list, and she's got a researcher as well. Oh, to have a team. Anyway, on the 21st, I am so, so honored to have on my show Robert Morningsky. Many of you have heard of the Terror Papers, T-E-R-R-A, which was his thesis, and he got completely slated for it, but it became an absolute underground bestseller. It gives the history of the Earth, it talks about Enki and Enlil, all the stuff that Sitchin has mistranslated, all of that stuff, talked to his grandfather by an extraterrestrial called Bekti in 1946. Long story. We'll be talking about that. We'll be talking about the Women of Fire, which is his latest project. It's about the divine feminine, bringing the divine feminine into our reality. Again, it's all in line with what we're talking about on Wolf Spirit Radio quite a lot already. So that should be very exciting. And who knows who we're going to have on Ever Beyond. I was so happy to have Rebecca Jernigan on Ever Beyond today. And I'd like to thank you all for listening. And I'm running a little bit late. Anyway, who cares? Let's play that with my outro. Oh, there it is. So, stay tuned for Ms. Muggsy's show at 3 a.m. UK time, which is 7 p.m. PST, which is 10 p.m. EST. That will be going on. That will be going on for 90 minutes, and I'll be handing the stream back at 9 o'clock PST. So, Rebecca Jernigan, thank you very much, my friend, for joining me.
Always my honor and pleasure. Thank you, JP. You know I love you from the bottom of my heart, and thank you, everyone, for showing up and being present here today. Thank you all.
Thank you very much, and good night. beyond.